Thank you, praise team. Appreciate all you do. Before we begin, I want us to go to the Lord in prayer. We have prayer requests today for Wanda Cunningham for healing, for our pastor's continued strengthening and healing, and that was plural, both pastors, for Sue Montgomery for family problems, for Dimple Buck for healing, Robert and I think it's Donnie Taylor, Turner for salvation, Joey Hatcher for healing, Brenda Thrasher for healing, sorry folks, I'm terrible at this, but Alien Woodrum, that's Albert, boy how did I get that, okay. You might want to start using block letters because I'm just terrible at this. So, Albert Woodrum for healing for heart and kidneys. Edith Harmon for a good report. Danny for healing, Danny McClister. And pray for Monica as well. Other prayer requests? Yes. Okay. Anyone else? Yes. Okay. Jennifer? All right. Okay. Yes. Okay. How about those who are without work? How about those who are suffering from this tragedy in Colorado? Folks, I can't even imagine. I cannot even imagine what would possess someone. Well, actually, I can imagine what possesses them to create such turmoil for so many families. We need to not only pray for those families, but we also need to pray for all those workers who had to go into that aftermath and deal with all that carnage. We need to pray that their families will be all right. So many times the rescue workers who come in after the fact are forgotten about. So we need to pray for them as well. And yes. Absolutely. I don't know if you heard the statistic the other day. Every day, one service member who comes back from the war, whether it was Afghanistan or Iraq, commits suicide. One a day. That's startling. That is so startling. So we need to pray for our men and women who are in the military. A lot of times the women are forgotten, but the fact is they're over there too. Any other prayer requests? Let's hear it. Hold on. Oh, I want you to talk real loud here.
This may sound like something that's not good, but his red truck that he had, it was like 18 years old. It caught on fire about 2 months ago, and the whole under the hood burned up. And every time he and Kenny tried to put it out, the Lord would make the flames shoot up again. And I say that because it was a blessing that this 18-year-old truck under the hood burned up right in front of our house. And so he was like, Lord, let it burn, let it burn. Because it was a blessing. Several months ago, I started to cancel the full coverage on that truck because it was so old, and the Holy Spirit told me to not do that. So when the truck burned up, we had full coverage, so insurance paid for a brand new vehicle. So that's a blessing. That's why we were joyful that the Lord was blessing it to burn, because they could not put the fire out, and it was just continuing to burn. And why I say that is because the Lord let it burn up enough under the hood that they had to total it out. So that was a God blessing.
Go ahead. Wow. 1 pound, 14 ounces. You think that baby needs prayer? God is in the miracle working business. By the way, if you need assistance putting out fires, don't ask for Edwin and Kenny to help you. Pass that on, Micaiah. Pass that on. God is in the miracle working business. There's a testimony right there. If you're able, go ahead and stand up and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we praise you and we thank you. For God, you are still in the miracle working business. You hear our prayers when we call out. Lord, even when we reach the point to where we don't know what else to say, we can just simply say, oh my God, God. And you know our heart. Father, you've heard the prayer request. You know the need for healing. Lord, for all those who are suffering in the aftermath of this terrible, hideous crime that has taken place, Lord, comfort them. Be with them. Lord, use this awful experience to bring them closer to you. Father, for those who are out of work and don't know what they're going to do, Father, have your way in their lives. Help them to find that job that you have for them, that you have prepared for them. Father, we ask you for this infant, this newborn. Father, encourage the family, but let them draw closer to you. Let them come to you. Abba, Father, Lord, let them call out to you and hear their prayers. We pray for this service today, Lord, that you will have your way, that you will take complete control. Removing every distraction, Lord. Lord, that we're not thinking about whether we'll be able to make it to McDonald's before the line gets too long. Lord, but our mind will be upon you. We're not worried about whether the laundry gets done today. This is your day. This is the Sabbath. Let it be about you, Lord. Help us to remove the distractions from us now. Clear our minds and clear our hearts, Lord, that they are focused completely upon you. We praise you and we thank you, Lord. We pray now, pour your spirit out upon this place. Change our hearts and change our minds that we glorify you in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, if you have your calendars, go ahead and grab them and pull them out real quick because we've got a picnic coming. On the 5th of August at the Adamson's household, Jerry and Denise are going to throw another picnic. Bring your covered dishes. We're going to have a baptismal service as well. So if you have not been baptized or you were baptized perhaps as I was as a child, and you didn't really know what you were doing, and now you would like to be baptized again, come talk to me. You may have been baptized once and walked away from the Lord, and you want to make an outward move to show an inward change because you've come back to the Lord, come talk to me. Maybe you knew what you were doing, but you just want to do it again. Come talk to me. Folks, I'm not going to believe for a moment that God looks down on those who are baptized more than once. And I don't believe for a minute that it means anything other than if you've already done it once, you walk away wet. So what? It's a act of faith. So we're going to pray that if you would like to be baptized, come talk to me. Come participate in this event. Be a part of this picnic. Folks, this is a time where we can step away and fellowship with one another. And the fact of the matter is, I'll be at this one, whether you want me to or not. And I'd like to get to know some of you, because I don't know you as well as I should. But I'd like to. So come join us. Bring a covered dish. It is going to be at 5 o'clock on August the 5th. And there'll be more details coming up later on. All right. We'll get it later. All right. Today we're going to discuss a topic that, doesn't usually hold a lot of water in the church house. We're going to talk about evolution. Now, before you get up and start packing your stuff and heading out, we're going to discuss evolution of a Christian. Okay? That's not so bad. I hear the, okay, good. That means you're not going to pack up and leave just yet. Evolution. Oh, I thought he was packing up and leaving. I thought, oh boy, there he goes. Evolution, a gradual process in which something changes into a different and usually more complex or better form. Go ahead, everybody. Would that not be the evolution of a Christian? We hope it is. We certainly hope so. Using this definition, I believe that we as Christians indeed evolve. We go from a life form that is absolutely certain, with complete certainty, going to face eternal death. And once we confess our faith in Jesus Christ, we become a life form that with certainty will now see eternal life. That's pretty awesome stuff there. Now, that's the only evolution I know about. Changing life forms, if you want to call it that. We're not changing species. We're simply changing life forms. We're going from something that is certain death to certain life. I want to make sure that every one of us... God? Is that you? No. Okay. He's with the emergency rescue team. I understand why he's got it on. That's okay. But that doesn't mean I'm not going to have fun with it. But you know what? I want to make absolutely sure that we evolve as Christians, knowing where our days are going to be at when we close our eyes on this side of earth. I want us to understand that we still don't have any comprehension of how good it's going to be. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 says, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." That sounds like a pretty good change to me. Let's see. Hell and damnation, constant pain and struggling and darkness, and or you can have, you know what, I can imagine some pretty good things. I have quite the imagination, in case you haven't noticed that, and some of it's even good. I can imagine some pretty joyful things, but if it says here that it hasn't even entered the heart, how good is that going to be? That's going to be phenomenal. This is going to be the word. Awesome. You know, we use that word so freely, but that's going to be awesome. To close your eyes here, and when you open them again, to be looking up on our precious Lord in that glorious kingdom. To walk those streets of gold that are so pure they look like glass. You know how, you know, the more pure gold is, the softer it is. I'm kicking my shoes off and squishing my toes in the streets as I walk down through there. I want to feel that. If this so is if so pure that it's clear, that's got to be some good stuff. Streets of gold. Got way off track on that one. So what brings about the evolution of a Christian? Well, first and foremost, you must accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. John 1 and 2, or 1 and 12 says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Step one. Well, I believe in Jesus. You believe in him. Satan believes in him. Was that good enough? No. You have to ask him to become your Savior. You have to ask him to come in and make you that new creation. Many times we believe that believing that there is a Christ is enough. It isn't. You must make him your Lord and Savior. It's only through that acceptance of Christ as your Lord and Savior that you can take that first step to evolution as a Christian. Step two, allow Jesus to take control. Listen for his voice and heed what he recommends you do. In evolution, a life form will flee from threatening environments and draw near to environments which will allow them to grow and flourish. 2 Timothy 2 and 21 and 22. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself now from the latter, come on, this is what we were talking about, right? Isn't that funny how God does that? He will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteous faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So those things, those things which they spoke of, those youthful lusts, what's that saying? That's something that's gonna destroy you. That is something that is going to kill you. So you need to pull yourself away from those things. Let the Spirit of God lead you and show you how to become an evolved Christian. Step three, begin a relationship with Jesus Christ. How can you do that? Well, through prayer, talking to God. You know what? I've done this before. I'm going to do it again. Oh, Heavenly Father who reigns upon high, we call upon the precious name of the Lord God Almighty who has created everything. You know what? I bet he's looking down going, what is he doing? Who's he talking to? But the one who says, God, I'm so lost. I think for a moment, heaven stops. And they look over the edge. And they say, he's calling on the Father's name. It's good stuff. Call on the name. Do you call Edwin and say, oh, Brother Edwin who reigns from his wife's side? No. How about you pick up the phone and say, hey, Edwin, what you up to? Hey, Lord. I blew it again. You know that thing we've been talking about that I keep failing on? I blew it again. Only this time it's really. You know, I felt you telling me not to do it, and I did it anyway. I willfully disobeyed you. I blew it. But don't get confused. Don't believe the lie that says he will not forgive you. When you call on his name and you go to him and you humble yourself and you say, Lord, look, I did it again. He said, what do you mean again? We talked about this just last week when I did this. I didn't know about that. Didn't you ask for forgiveness for that? No, I'm pretty sure this is the first time. See, God, when you say, Lord, forgive me, He takes that sin and he puts it in the sea of forgetfulness. And he posts a no fishing sign. But we want to sneak in there with our headlamps and go fishing again to pull that sin back up. God said, no, 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 no. That's no fishing. You're not allowed to. That's forgotten. But when I did it last week, I don't know what you're talking about. What do you mean last week? No, no, you did it. You're asking forgiveness, I forgive you. You know what? That's God. But don't get all flowery on him. He doesn't want that. He just wants you to talk to him. Just talk to him. Tell you what you do. You want to get flowery on him? Try that stuff in your own household. See if it works there. She's going to look at you like you lost your mind. What have you done now? If you're trying to butter me up for something, and isn't that what we think we're doing when we start getting all flowery on God? Just talk to him. How about this? Start and end your day with prayer. Some get up and they say, good morning, Lord. Others get up and say, good Lord, it's morning. But you know what? We should. We should get up. If you open your eyes in the morning, you should be thanking the Lord. He's given you another day to be used, to reach out to the lost, to those who won't come in the church house, to reach out to someone who doesn't know him. He's given you another day. And before you close your eyes at night, if you say nothing else, thank him for the day. Ask forgiveness for those areas that you failed in, and let it go. Let it go. You ever heard the old adage? Shoot first, aim later. Shoot first and aim later. Boy, that's how many of us run our lives. Before we make a major decision, we choose to do it, and then we ask God, God, will you go ahead and bless this decision I made, because I really need your blessing right now. I really do. I need you to bless this so that it works out the way I wanted it to. That's shooting first and aiming later. What if instead we say, Lord, I have a major decision that I need to make, and I need your direction. Lord, show me what to do. It is amazing how you can call upon the Father to give us direction, and how many people will come into your life that day, maybe that week, and confirm exactly what he wants you to do. No, you will not receive a telegram that says, from God, dear son, since you're so dense, do this. It's not going to happen. But you'll know without a doubt. If you ask first, before making a major decision, ask him. Ask him. What does the word say? Pray without ceasing. You know what? I'm blessed. There's nothing like getting out on that motorcycle, heading to work, seeing that sunrise. And lately, folks, for those who are sleeping late, you're missing it. Seeing the sun rising but behind the clouds, and seeing the pinks and the oranges, and oh my gosh, it's gorgeous. And all I can do is say, wow, thank you, Lord. That is so awesome. You made it just for me. It is. As far as I'm concerned, he made it just for Tim. Because right then, there's only two there, me and him. So he made that sunrise for me. But as we go through the day, as we go through that day and things happen, we have so many reasons to say, thank you, Lord. Or all of a sudden something comes over you and says, check your speed, boy. You better slow that thing down. and you slow it down. And then you come up on an accident that happened just a few minutes before you got there. Hello? Has that ever happened? You better be thanking him then. Oh my gosh, Lord, that could have been me. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for telling me. Thank you for protecting me. We should thank him for the little things. When we thank our precious Lord for the little things, my goodness, for one thing, it makes us realize as we go through the day how blessed we truly are. But if you don't want to, that's fine. Get up in the morning, wake up grumpy, start your day out that way. Don't ask God to bless the day. Go on through it. When you come to the end of the day and your husband says, honey, did you have a bad day? What? Wait, what? What? I'm sorry, I just asked if you had a bad day. No, I didn't have a bad day. Why, does it look like I'm having a bad day? Yeah, it really is. And then you make the mistake. Would you like me to pray for you? Why? What are you saying? I don't mean you all. I mean, you know. Out of the mouth of babes. Oh, no. No, I don't mean her either. But you know what? We all do it. And I heard coming in today on the radio, I heard a preacher talking, and he says, how many times do we sin, and then we don't want to talk to God for 2 or 3 days? Maybe if I don't talk to him, he won't notice. Really? I feel so guilty. Uh-huh. All the more reason to talk to him. But you know what? We are so blessed. We should thank him for so many things all day long. And the amazing thing is, you know what? If you snap at that person, whether it's your spouse or someone else, that's the time to, oh, Lord, forgive me. I shouldn't have talked to that person that way. Forgive me for that. And it happens. It happens. We start feeling stressed out over things that we don't give to the Lord, and it builds up and it builds up, and then all of a sudden, ah! And then I am so sorry. And then they do something really stupid, person we snapped at. They say, oh, it's okay. What? No, we're supposed to shame ourselves. We're supposed, you're not supposed to forgive me that easy? No. Maybe they have a little more spirit of God on them today than you do. Oh, it's okay. Don't worry about it. Everybody has a bad day. Right then, say, Lord, forgive me. Ask that person to forgive you. But let it go. Then when you get to the end of the night, right before you lay your head down, you don't have to go through the mental Rolodex and say, okay, what all did I sin on today? No. When you make a mistake and you sin or you do something wrong, ask right then. That way you don't forget it at the end of the day. I told you, begin a relationship with Jesus through prayer. How about also by reading this Bible? Well, Brother Tim, you just don't understand. I just don't read the Bible very much. Okay, get it on tape. Get it on CD. Turn your radio off the rock station and put it on a Christian radio station. Get it however you can. But get it. We need it. It helps us to grow. We can't do it on our own. You can do it through daily reading. Well, you know, I'm just not all into that stuff. Then how can you spend 3 hours on Facebook if you don't like reading? Uh-oh, got quiet. Anybody home? I love that. I really do. You know, I just have a really hard time reading the Bible. I can't pay attention that long. Hold on. Didn't you say you were on Facebook from 6 until 10 last night? How can we slip the Bible in on Facebook? You know what, folks? I'm not putting down Facebook, but look at it for what it is. Yes, it's a way for many to keep in touch with each other. But for many, it's just a gossip log. Call it what it is. It's not that way in every circumstance. There are internet devotions from Christian writers, Christian ministries. Pick one that you like. Find it. Read it. I'm not asking you to go out and read the book of Psalms in your morning devotion. It's thick, for those who don't know that it's thick part. So I'm asking you to take a little time. Start the day with His Word, and you'll see as the day progresses how much better it makes your day. And it's amazing how God ties everything in. Usually the scripture you read that day is the one you're going to need for that day. And God goes, wow, isn't that coincidence? No, He doesn't. He knew it was going to work that way. Study your Bible. We know what 2 Timothy 2 and 15 says. Study to show thyself approved. Actually, it says shew, S-H-E-W. But anyway, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know what? Folks, I don't care how long you've been in this game. You're not going to know it all. You may have an opinion about what something means. And guess what? How many of you evolved Christians believe that this is the living Word of God? None of you. Okay, we got one. We got a hand here. We got a hand here. Got one over here. Got one. All right, here we go. All right, raise your hand if you believe it. The living Word of God. Guess what? It is alive. You can read a scripture today, and today it means this. And you can read that scripture a year from now, and it'll mean something totally different. Why? Because it's what you're going through at that time in your life. You haven't changed the meaning of the word. It's just God has given you a different view of it. You know, I can stand back here and touch the back end of an elephant. And my view of that elephant is, it's big on both sides and got a little skinny tail right down the middle of it. That's what an elephant looks like. But if I go to the front of the elephant, I got a totally different view. He's got two big tusks. He's got a huge nose, big old eyes, and a big mouth. Which one's right? Depends on the view that day, isn't it? So God knows what you need and when you need it. You need to understand that. As we read God's Word, get into a study group, whether it's in person, whether it's in the internet. Come in here on Wednesday night. Those three people that are here with Brother Ricardo would like your company. Actually, it's more than that, and I'm thankful for those faithful few. But that's how we learn. The great thing about Wednesday nights is it's discussion. Let's talk about it. Say, well, you know, blah, 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 excuse, whatever, whatever. How about this? Find a Bible study group. Get on the internet. They have Bible study, daily Bible studies that you can do. It'll tell you, read this verse out of this book, and then tomorrow we're going to discuss it. Awesome. But study the Word of God. But here's the big thing. Before you get into the internet Bible study, pray that God will reveal the truth. Used to have a friend. He used to take the Bible and drop it down on his pulpit. And whatever it opened up to, that's what he was going to preach on. Worked for him. Doesn't work for me. I would rather know, without a doubt, Lord, you show me what you want me to preach on today. Now, it can come in different ways. It can come through my wife. It can come through something that happens. I can remember preaching on a sermon that happened in the middle of winter about fishing off of my boat dock and catching fish when it was snowing. And you think, how in the world did you do that? I guess we'll just have to wait and see, won't we? You'll probably get a recycle on that one. Who knows? But God can give us so many things, and he can guide us and show us his word, but only if we take that word in. You can't recall something you've never read. Ask some of these high school students, they'll tell you. Oh, Lord, give me the ability to recall it. Well, did you put it in? No. Ain't going to happen. Not unless you're looking at the next door neighbor's paper. You're not allowed to do that either. How else can we build a relationship with Jesus Christ? Fast. Fast. That's something the church has quit talking about. Why? As our waistlines increase, we quit talking about it. Well, brother, you know, as a Christian, one of the few things we can do is get together and eat. It didn't say never eat again. It said fast. I'm diabetic. Okay. Fast that television set. Fast your entertainment. You can fast in many ways. And what is the purpose? It's to make a sacrifice for Christ. I'm going to tell you, fasting does not mean skipping a meal and continuing to work. Fasting does not mean skipping a meal and going out and doing something else instead. It means skipping that meal or skipping that television show or skipping whatever, sacrificing it, and spending that time with Christ. Spending that time with the Lord God Almighty. We know in Mark chapter 9, where the man had brought a child who was possessed by an evil spirit. He had brought it to the disciples, and they tried, but they could not cast that demon out. And finally, the man took the child to Jesus. And he said, I brought my child to the disciples, but they cannot cast us out. And Jesus cast that evil spirit out. And then the disciples asked him, Lord, why is it we couldn't do it? What happened? Why could we not cast that spirit out? And the Lord said, this kind comes out by nothing but prayer and fasting. What I want you to understand, and I'm going to throw this in here, this is the bonus. When the man said, Lord, your disciples couldn't do it. Your disciples couldn't do it. Jesus said, if you believe, all things are possible for him who believes. And what did he say? Shucks. Kid ain't going to get healed today. No, he didn't. He said, I believe, but help me with my unbelief. Folks, we talk about faith. I believe we all have a measure of faith. And the more we see God move, and the more we see God heal our pastor and heal other people, the more we believe, the more greater our faith. But yet there's always that little bit of doubt, that little bit of unbelief. Even when we lay hands on the sick and we pray, we still have that unbelief. That's where we say, but help me with my unbelief. This man recognized that. He recognized that, yes, Lord, I do believe. That's why I brought my child here. But help me with my unbelief. Help me with my unbelief. Fasting doesn't have to be mama's grits. Can be whatever the Lord lays on your heart. But if you never fast, you never step off into a deeper walk with Christ. There has to be sacrifice. He gave the ultimate sacrifice. Surely you can give up one Big Mac. Surely you can give up 1 hour of Mountain Men, my favorite show now. Some of you looking at me like I lost my mind. You'd have to see it. Anyway. Allow Christ to mold you and change you. That can only be done through obedience. When the Spirit of God says, move, you need to move. When the Spirit of God tells you don't, you need not do it. In evolution, the life form that stays in a state of homeostasis, a stagnant state, either dies or fails to evolve. It stays just where it started. How many Christians come in the church house today, accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and years later you look at them and they're in the same spot? Well, I believe in Jesus. He's my Savior. Okay? Have you evolved since you accepted Christ? Well, yeah, I come to church every time the doors is open sometimes. Have you evolved? Here's one that I want you to listen to. Group yourself with like-minded people. You ask most athletes how they got to where they are as far as their abilities. They'll tell you, I found someone who was better than me, and I stayed with them. You can't stay with someone who has less ability than you and expect to learn from them. You can't hang out with your friends at the clubs and think you're going to be a better Christian for it. You have nothing in common with them. If you are going to evolve, you need to focus yourself and put yourself around people who are more knowledgeable in the Word of God, who have been through more, and who have survived it and come out the other side with greater faith. Any great athlete, once they achieved a certain level to where they were as able or more so than their mentor, they found a new mentor. They had to, or they will stay exactly where they were. They'll stay at that level. Here's a good one for you. How to evolve as a Christian? Get involved. Get involved. Do something. Say, well, you know, I can't. Here's the one I always used. You know, I just can't remember all them Bible verses. Can you run a broom? Can you pick up a cigarette butt in the parking lot? You know, it amazes me how many times you see this right here. You'll see people get out of their car, walk, and they go, oh, we need to get somebody to pick that up. Really? Really? Or they'll go in and they'll say, Pastor, we need to get somebody to clean the parking lot because there's a lot of trash out there. Praise God. We'll send you right up. Oh, no, I just meant I noticed it and I thought I'd tell you. You know what? Get involved. If you see a need, do it. If you're at home and you see your kid's room is growing mold on the walls because they haven't cleaned it in so long, I hope you're going to get involved and say, hey, get in there and clean that room. Well, like fashion, If you see a need in the church or outside the church, if you see a mother with some small children who have a flat tire, pull over, help them. It amazes me. Jody and I were on a motorcycle, and we stopped and we helped a lady change a flat tire. And she said, I've been here for 30 minutes. 30 minutes? On the road to Wally World? How many people were on their way there? Folks, let's face it, that's a main thoroughfare, Walmart to Columbia. How many people passed this woman and said, oh, I'm in a hurry. They're having a sale at Wally World. That's Walmart, by the way, in case you didn't catch that. Are we not supposed to show a little compassion? Stop. Change your tire. And when they say, can I pay you? No, I just wanted to show you the love of Christ. Oh, that messes with people's heads. That's so good. That's such good stuff. But get involved. Get involved in the church. Get involved out of the church. But get involved. There's so many things that you can get involved in this church. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12 says, and he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Not adding to the word of God, but adding to this portion. And to some he gave to be lawnmowers, floor cleaners, gutter cleaners, toilet bowl cleaners. To some, well, anyway, you get the point, right? Don't need to go on. Folks, guess what? If you have to do it at your house, it needs to be done here. Somebody's got to do it. Get involved. They were really trying to push the 1% thing. Give 1 hour of your time. 1 hour of your time. And you know what? For those who are doing that as a result of that, you have blessed our pastors. They are so proud of you. For those of us who failed, we need to do better. There's always something to be done. Get involved. Continue to learn and grow. Which reminds me of a story. There was a lady who wrote an article on gardening. It's a column for a certain newspaper. And she wrote this article talking about how when she first started gardening, she would take the little seedlings out of the little plastic cups, and she would be so gentle not to disturb the root system. And suddenly she found all of her plants were dying. And then she got to asking other people who were more knowledgeable, why are all my plants dying? And they said, oh, no. The roots all wad up at the bottom and they coil around each other. You have to break those up. Like, what? Yeah, you have to break those up so that those can spread out once they're planted and they become a much stronger plant. She said after that, she would pull those little fellas right out of there, pop them out, and she said first thing she'd do is look at that root ball down at the bottom, and she'd stick her finger right up in the middle and just break those apart. And she said, yeah, you would break some of the roots, and they'd fall to the ground. But she knew that what she was doing was giving them life, making them stronger. And when I agree with you. That's good. That's a good word. Thank you. Okay. All right. That's what God sometimes does with us. He puts us in environments that we don't want. We don't want our little root ball messed with. We like it just the way it is. We're going to stay right here. We're comfy. God says, no, I'm going to spread your roots a little bit here. And sometimes he'll move you to do it. That's uncomfortable. That's not what we like. We like things just the way they are. You don't believe that? If I ever come in, you come in here and I say, okay, I want this side of the church, get up. I want you to move to this side and find a seat. This side, get up and do the same thing. You'll sit there the whole service going, why did he do that? I feel so uncomfortable. This is my chair. My chair is over there. You know how I know? I had a pastor do it to me. All day I was like, this doesn't feel right. Was my focus on the service? No, my focus was on my chair. Who's sitting in my chair? I didn't buy it. But we feel that way because that's our comfort zone. We need to realize that sometimes God will use something that we consider him turning his back on us as to actually be something that's going to give us life. I hate the fact that my pastor's going through what he's going through. But I know without a doubt that when he comes out of it, he's going to be stronger for it. I know that when he comes out of this, oh, get in his way. That man will preach you down. I know that. I believe it with everything I am. He's going through it right now. But when he comes out, he's going to be stronger because of it. Amen. Yes, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Jesus said, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Don't automatically think, because your root ball's being messed with, that it's a bad thing. He's trying to prepare you to bear more fruit. One of the last points to evolving to be a better Christian. Help others. Help others. Galatians 6:2 says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We've said it before. It still applies. If you see your brother and sister in need, and you have the ability to meet that need, meet it. You don't have to send a notice out to the church to let them know that you did it. Don't let the right hand know what the left hand is doing. But do it. What you do in private, God's going to reward openly. He will bless you tremendously. But even more so, he's allowing you to be a blessing to someone else. I will warn you of this, though. When you help someone else, be careful. For many times they begin to look at you as their source. God is your source. Make sure they understand God is the one who sent you there. God is the one who told you to do that thing. Glorify God, not you. There was a doctor in England in the 1800s, and he was a phenomenal doctor, but he suffered with melancholy, what we call depression. And many times he would function so well for months on end with no problems, and then all of a sudden he could feel it coming on, and the darkness would start to close around him, and he would cancel all of his appointments and disappear. And then sometimes days later and sometimes weeks later, he would come back. And he would seem to be in such wonderful spirits. And finally, the secretary couldn't take it anymore. She said, okay, I've got to know. What are you doing? This change in you every time you go away? He said, I go into the inner city. the dankest, darkest streets of London. And there I serve. She said, what? But your melancholy, it takes a hold of you. He said, yes. And as I go and begin to serve others, God reveals to me just how blessed I truly am and how good I truly have it. And the darkness goes away. Wow. Does that mean we can't get on our pity party and, oh, God doesn't love me no more? If he loved me, he wouldn't let me go through this. Oh, God, why are you doing this to me? I served you faithfully all those years. Are you hanging on a cross? Try that on for size and then whine about it. It's easy to get into because we've been so blessed in this country we live in that if we do run through a hardship, all of a sudden we start feeling like God's persecuting us. What? God? God isn't persecuting us. God's with us right beside us through everything we go through. He is there. This doctor would go off, and in doing so, he would serve others. He would give them free medical care that he could provide, free of charge. And as a result, he was blessed. Galatians 6:10 reminds us, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all. Especially to those who are of the household of faith. Who would that be? Yeah, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Well, now, hold on, Brother Tim. God says he's no respecter of persons. No, he's not. What's it say? That they'll know them by the love that they have for one another. I'll take out of my house to give to yours because I see that you have needs, sister. No, I don't know what she needs. I'm using it as an example. But you know what? If others see that, they're going to say, maybe there is something to this Christian stuff. Wow. So these are the steps of evolution as a Christian as I see them. What's God showing you? What's God showing you? What steps is he telling you as we went through this list? What's God telling you that you can do to evolve as a Christian? Here's one thing that I want you to understand. You may be one of those people who accepted Christ at an early age. And you evolved really quick. You may have been sold out to the Lord by the time you were 9 years old. And you've had a relationship with him that has continued to only grow through the years. And on the other hand, you may be one of those people who sees others who have been Christians for 5, 6, 8, 10 years, and they're in the same spot they were. They accepted Christ, but they're not bearing fruit. Before we become fruit inspectors and start putting our finger in their nose and telling them, you need to grow up. You ain't saved or you'd have been doing this. No, no, no. Let us remember, everyone evolves at a different pace. I would like to think that if you've been in the church and you've accepted Christ and you've been a Christian for 8 or 9 years, that you are indeed bearing fruit. I would like to think that. But you know what? That evolution process comes down to you. The more you put into it, the quicker we evolve. There's a story of a young pastor who accepted Christ, and he felt such a commitment to preach the gospel because of what he felt after that burden of sin was lifted off of him, that he began to go into the streets and preach the gospel. People took notice of him, and they began to say, "Hey, why don't you come preach at my church?" One particular night, he was at a church, and he started really getting into it, and he got so excited, he started letting profanities fly out, dropping bombs here and there. People's eyes got big, and they sat there and didn't know how to act. Finally, after the service was over, the pastor said, "Son, can I see you?" He said, "Come talk to me." And he went back to his office, and he said, "Son, how long you been saved?" He said, 4 months. 4 months? And he said, "Yeah." He said, "Then I apologize to you." He said, "I apologize to you that I would allow you in my pulpit without training you." See, this young man had the zeal to serve the Lord, and he was doing it. He just didn't know that you weren't supposed to be dropping profanity. To him, it wasn't profanity. It was a part of everyday life. Those words he chose to use were the same words that you would say, "Hey, how's the weather?" "All the blankety-blank weather is blankety-blank." It was a part of everyday language. And nobody ever taught him it was wrong. So he had to evolve. Someone had to take this young man and help him to evolve. All he knew was God saved him, and he was going to make sure everybody else knew it, and they was going to get saved too. Either that or he's going to pound them in the ground. Sounds pretty serious, don't it? He wanted people saved. Oh, if we had that much zeal. Leave off the profanity. We don't need that. But understand, his evolution process was just starting. Someone else could have stopped him right at that first bomb, that first cuss word, and say, "Hold on, brother, you don't talk like that in God's house. What's wrong with you? You're going to hell." No, he was trying to save people from hell. He just needed a mentor to take him and teach him. So that's what we need to do. Find that person. Mentor him. He was just evolving. Now I want to tell you something, and I'm going to close it with this. Charles Darwin says we evolved from monkeys. But God says you evolved through him. Bow your heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you take this message, put it in the hearts and the minds of each person here. Lord, my prayer is that you will use something out of it to help them to see where they are as they evolve, and to see, Lord, how they can help others to evolve. Father, we know that we can do nothing without you. We need you to guide us. We beg for your guidance. I ask you now, Lord, for every man, woman, and child who is in this room, is there anyone who does not know Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior? If there is, I ask that you just slip your hand up right now. Lord, seeing none, I ask you, Father, to watch over this congregation. Watch over our pastor. Watch over all those who could not be here, and bring healing to those broken bodies. Lord, watch over them. Glorify yourself through them until we can return again at the appointed time. May we evolve into the child of God that you know we can be. And may it glorify you in the process. And all God's people said, Amen. Don't forget Wednesday night service. God bless you all. Thank you for coming. Hey, folks, before you take off, we got a child back here that needs some prayer. I want you all to just, if you're able, extend your hand this way, and let's pray for this child.